This is Melina Healy. I will be discussing the two passages I read on pages 253 and 638 of the Poisonwood Bible. The first few works that we've read have all dealt with immigration and the integration of foreign and native peoples. Obviously, language communication and the reconciliation of two different cultures are big parts of this process. And the themes of words, translation, and miscommunication in the Poisonwood Bible are likewise worth exploring. In the novel's world of the Congo, communication is often a struggle. There is Ada, who cannot or chooses not to speak. There is the Price family, initially unable to communicate with the Kalanga at all, and never able to fully appreciate the Kalanga understanding of life. Furthermore, as the passages I read indicate, words themselves seem to have more power than even as a mere form of communication. Reverend Price views the Word of God, note uppercase W, as the key to salvation. He punishes his daughters with the verse, believing that these divine passages will somehow transform their sin-addled souls. And for the Kalanga, to tell stories, to voice beliefs, to sing songs, and to name are all sounds that have direct power over life and existence itself. I am particularly interested in the concept of Namo, which is brought up in my first passage. Namo is what the Kalanga tribe calls the name of something, which once spoken causes that thing to exist. This is a new idea for Ada, and I'm curious about how we see it played out in the novel. What power does a voice have to speak the truth, or even to call something into existence? The concept of Namo also gives me the impression that one needs others to acknowledge one's existence in order to exist at all. There is no word without another to hear it, and no words or language without someone else to communicate them to. This all contributes to the idea of life's deep interdependency. My passage touches briefly on this idea when Nelson tells Ada that a tree is also Muntu, an idea that is foreign to her Judeo-Christian understanding of the life of humanity as more sacred than that of plants and animals. In the novel, Kingsolver points to the ways that all nature is crucial to the Price's survival, and all life has its own special integrity. My second passage deals with the miscommunication of translated words, a mistake the Reverend Price is particularly vulnerable to. Nathan Price believed he was spreading his particular interpretation of the Word of God to the Congolese, but he was feeding them half-baked translations that came out horrendously wrong in their language. Still, Ada believes that these mistranslations had deep impact and a sort of truth of their own. She says the mistakes are part of the story. Nathan Price believed he was giving the Congolese his dangerously stubborn vision of life and salvation when he was actually preaching the Poisonwood Bible, and the people of Kalanga could never really understand his, or perhaps anyone's, brand of Christianity. Both passages touch on one of the big questions I have for the novel, similar to my inquiries about the two we have already read. Do you think that the Price family is ever ultimately able to understand the Congo? Can colonizer and colonized ever come together and transcend their communication and language barriers? Can the words that mean one thing in one language and are effectively untranslatable ever be understood by speakers of the other language? Is there hope for reconciliation, or are people doomed to remain African or American or Belgian? Leah certainly presents a hopeful portrait of a white woman who has become part of Africa, but she is unable to ever live successfully in the U.S. again, having become too foreign. So is there a point of communication and consensus? Or are things fated to remain separate? Thank you. I hope to discuss these topics tomorrow during our seminar.